Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey folks, this is episode number 204, and this week we have Mr. Jeff Pilson on.
Wow.
And
thank you.
And Bill is responsible for this. Is it going to be a train wreck, or is it going to be a good interview?
No, it'll be a great interview.
It's a great interview.
Jeff Pilson, for crying out loud.
It's Jeff fucking Pilson. And considering
he's already
Pilson.
Been on twice. He's been on here twice before, and
yeah.
They all turned out great. And I can't tell. I won't tell you if it was good or not. We'll just have to see if it was good.
We already know it was good.
It's bad like all of our other interviews.
Tell you what, Jeff is a super duper 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 great guy. I mean, I don't want to fawn over somebody who's been a guest, but he is a down to earth.
It's okay.
He's a down to earth cool dude. I mean, you can't get more down to earth.
Yeah. Than he. I mean, how down to earth can you be when you have to stop the interview to open up a can of salsa for your kid?
Yeah. Well, that.
Yep.
Actually, that happened before the interview started, so y'all don't get to see that. Sorry, folks.
Well, and another little tidbit about this interview was the fact of that he thought he had something going on that day, but he wasn't for sure. He thought it was earlier in the day, so Alan rings him up. He's sitting in his lounge chair, and he's like,
"Am I supposed to talk to you today?"
And he's like, "Okay." He's like, "Is that okay?" And he's like, "Yeah. Can we do video?" Because he was, audio only. He pops up, t-shirt. Didn't have to go comb his hair or nothing. He was like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" It was just, I mean, the dude is just super nice. Yeah.
We should call that episode "Rock Stars Relaxing."
There you go.
Rock Star Interrupt Us.
All right.
just a good dude.
Well, before we get started, next week, Monday, March the 2nd, we'll be doing our next live radio show on MetalWorldRadio.com. So. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific,
and how do you know that shit?
Way fucking earlier Hawaii time. I've been all over the world, dude. I know a lot of time zones.
And we actually have a theme this time, right?
Well, I have a theme. I mean, if you guys choose to use my theme, you're welcome.
I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to. For me, it's going to be really difficult, but I'm going to work on it this week. To get it done.
It's because Dennis is a curmudgeon.
No, Dennis doesn't do certain things, so there you go.
That's what she said.
I'll do anything.
Well, but I won't you will.
Do that.
No, anyway.
Well, before we get into this discussion, I have something pretty cool that I want to show. I've got a cousin that lives in... It's not that, Dennis. We don't have our magnifying glass out, so you're safe.
Is this all PG 13?
This is rated G. Okay. But I have a cousin that lives in Ohio, and she posted a picture of a poster that she had done with one of those, the digital coloring book or something to that effect. And she posted it online. I'm like, man, that would look really cool in my music room. Well, today, out of the blue, there was a package in the mailbox. I'm like, I didn't order anything. And she sent this thing.
Oh, wicked cool.
Isn't that cool?
How cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah. She said she made it 11 by 14. She said she tried to make it bigger, but it started looking distorted and pixely. So.
Well, that's still nice. Pretty good size. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
man.
It turned out really nice. So it's going to be hanging in my music room. One of these days. I have to go buy a picture frame for it now. So thanks, Mary Jane. Appreciate it.
Well, that's cool.
Hobby awesome. Lobby, you'll have them 50% off probably this week or next week.
Yeah.
Well, they always have picture frames on sale.
Which is, I'm sad to say that I know that, but.
That's where I got my, was that where I got my Kiss, when I did at Collage, when I went to the Kiss convention, the official Kiss convention, I had a couple pictures and some, a couple of the lanyards from, I went to two of them. And then I had one of the books. I took the cover from the program books and kind of took it in there. And the guy's like, I know what you want to do. So he was like helping me. And I mean, really did a good job on it. I'll show it one of these days. It's back here on the wall. I just don't want to pull it off right now.
Pull it off. He said,
Speaking of pull off, did you pull off any record?
I'm surprised you don't want to do that right now. Did I? I did. So one of the reasons Jeff is on the show this week is because he has a new album out with you know, Jeff Pilson is one of those guys that just he knows more people than you can shake a stick at, and they're all like super duper talented, right?
Right.
So he has a new band. When we interviewed him last year, he had a new band called The End Machine.
Right.
And you know, that was with I'm going to screw that up. So he had a new band then. I'm not even going to say it because I'm Robert Moore.
Was it George Lynch? Wasn't it?
It was George Lynch and Robert Mason and I forget who the other guy was. So I'm going to screw that up. So there you go. Anyway, so the new band this year for him is. You probably never heard of these guys, right? They're all like anybody's ever heard of, right?
Bunch of, so
let's see, yeah.
Wannabes.
Matt Starr on drums.
I know that guy.
You know that guy? Yeah, bass for the band and a whole bunch of other stuff. Yep, and some guy named Robin McCauley, which heard of him. Yep, and then this other guy is a guitar player, not very good, right? Reb Beach. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Is that Reb Bach? Is that what it is? Reb Bach?
Yeah, Reb Bach. Red Beach was just a freaking shredder and a badass. So
he is a badass.
He's a badass.
He's a former docking person.
He is. And then Jeff, of course. So here's my purchase for the week. It is the Black Swan vinyl.
Beautiful cover.
It is a gatefold, which is really cool. Got some pictures, got all the words on it. It's real slick and shiny.
Is it a marble?
It is not marble. It's straight up black.
Oh. Yeah, just that's cool.
Black, you know.
Because it's a Black Swan.
The Black Swan, black, salt black. Anyway, really cool. So it's got 11 songs on it, but they kind of split it up, so it's four sides. That's kind of cool. Some great stuff on here. The Big Disaster is a great song. Johnny Keep Marching is a great song. Their single Shake the World. One of my favorite songs on here, Sacred Place. So this is good stuff. And I have not listened to this yet, but I've listened to it about 450 times on my Apple iPhone, and I get my receiver back on Saturday for being repaired, and that is the first thing that's going on it. Yes.
So the neighbors will be hearing Black Swan then, right?
Most likely, if they're lucky.
Turn it up loud enough. No, I have listened to the album a few times on Spotify, and I had the other night I was getting ready to buy it. I went online to find it, and I was going to buy it off Amazon. And then I got derailed somehow. Something went up, and I didn't get it ordered. So, but I am ordering that album. I do want that album. And
I got mine.
I don't think the word is derailed. I think the word is distracted.
I got it. Yeah, whatever. I am going to buy it, but I just didn't. So that's all you got this week? What?
I didn't really go out looking much this week.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I not get out. I bought a few last week. This week, I don't know. I've just been busy. I've been busy as beaver and didn't have a chance.
I didn't go out and buy any vinyl either.
Really?
Oh, come on, Phil. All right. Here's Jeff Pilson. All right. With us today is Mr. Jeff Pilson. How you doing, man?
Once again.
I'm doing great. Hello, guys.
Glad to see you, man. This is your third time on here.
Yeah, actually. Third time.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
When you get to
third time's a charm.
Yeah, when you get to five times, Jeff will send you a gold jacket like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I think you got to do it at least four more times so that you can pass up Mitch LaFon.
Oh, really? Okay. I'll do that. For a gold jacket, I'll do anything.
We promised Mitch a gold jacket, too, but he was just being a jerk, so we said no. He wasn't. He's a good guy. Yeah. We like Mitch. He's a good guy.
We like Mitch a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you got? So you're home, which is amazing, right? Because you're usually out and about and got 1,000 things going on. Yep. So you want to talk about something big that happened last week? Did you have a new record drop?
Oh, I did. As a matter of fact. Yeah, the Black Swan record came out, Shake the World, and we are so excited by the response it's gotten, and I got to tell you, I'm just really, really pleased. It came out amazing.
It's good stuff. I picked it up on. Well, I didn't pick it up. I downloaded it on Friday, And I've listened to it a few times since Friday, probably four or five.
Wow.
Yeah, good. It's really good. I really like it. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, and the response we're getting from everybody is really making us happy.
Cool. You picked up some really bad players for this record, I see, unlike before. It's like this is the master of the supergroup right there.
Well, yeah. I mean, Serafino and I, you know, kind of we do make those supergroups well. I mean, listen, Reb Beach is just an incredible guitar player, musician, songwriter, and great guy. You know, he was the first one to come on board, and then it occurred to me that Robin would be perfect for this, and Robin's a real dear friend, so it was like, oh, an opportunity to work with Robin, and I know he'd be perfect for this. And then he surpassed my wildest expectations. He just came in between his writing and his singing and his enthusiasm and his support. It's just been incredible. And, you know, Matt Starr came in at the last moment. You know, the record was basically recorded except the drums, but he came in and just nailed the drums, added a lot of energy, a lot of impact to what he added. And there you go. We have a package that is just, we're really, really proud of.
Yeah, it is really a really good record. It's one of those records that start to finish, no skips. That's always a good thing.
Oh, that's nice to hear. That's a very good thing to hear. That's the thing that's the hardest to tell when you're doing it, because you get so intimately involved with all the songs. And you tend to have a feeling about ones that are stronger or more immediate, or maybe more of like a single or a video than others, but you never really know what it's all going to be like. I mean, you know, I take a lot of time to make running orders. That's something that's very important to me. The way an album is sequenced is something, I'm very old school in that respect. To me, it's very important how an album is sequenced. And this one, I was very happy with it, but it was like, wow, that was too easy. It came very easy. And usually that's a struggle of a practice to go through. And this one came easy, and it made me think, God, I hope it's good. It's so easy.
Too easy.
Did you guys write together for this? I didn't see, unfortunately, I wasn't able to see who wrote what songs.
Well, all three considered Reb, Robin, and I. And the way we did it is Reb would come out and spend about a week with me at a time. And we did two or three of those sessions. He would just come out, stay here at the house, and then we'd get up in the morning, boom, we'd work until we had a song finished by the end of the day. And it was just incredible. You know, he and I have a great writing chemistry. The time we spent together in Dokken and when we did the Erase the Slate record was very productive. And, you know, as well as playing well alongside each other and, you know, chemistry wise, the writing thing was just real strong. So that, and I think that was the main reason why Reb wanted to do this, is he really looked forward to the writing chemistry. He didn't look forward to flying out from Pittsburgh every time we had to write, but we would do that, and we would record the stuff, and it just came out phenomenal. Then we would send it to Robin, who would generally write a first draft of the lyrics, and then he'd come in, and sometimes, you know, then he and I would sit down with it. Sometimes I changed almost nothing because he, you know, he had really nailed it. Sometimes I would change more. A couple songs I wrote more of the lyrics for, but overall it was the three of us in just a real true collaboration that was very productive.
Cool. Well, will we get to see this band in any shows, or is this going to be not a band that's able to do that?
Well, I mean, listen, you never know, because the bottom line is we all have day jobs with other bands. And so scheduling is just next to impossible to, you know, it's hard enough to do recordings. And with recordings, it's only two of us together at a time. To get all four of us together, that would be pretty hard. But having said that, that's something we hope can happen. The right opportunity would have to come along. And in the right timing. But if it happened, we would love to play, because I know how strong this band would be live. Because Robin McCauley is just, I mean, he hits every note every night. He's just an incredible singer. And the thing is, with Matt in the band, we have four strong singers because Reb's an excellent background vocalist. He really is. And Matt is a quality lead singer in his own. So, I mean, we would have really, really strong live vocals, strong instrumentation, and it would just be really fun to have that band live because we'd be really good.
There'd be a lot of people would want to see it, too, I mean, because the music's good, too. So it'd be awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first time I ever heard of Reb Beach and saw him was back, and I can't remember what year it was. It was one of the years that Dokken had got back together, and George was part of the band, and I think it was George played like two or three shows, and he left. Maybe it was just a few more than that, but it was in Indianapolis. And when we got there, we were told that George wasn't in the band anymore, and this guy named Reb Beach was going to be the guitar player, and came out and just lit it up. I mean, amazing. I mean, I love George. Don't get me wrong, but you know, when you're expecting that, you're like, oh, come on. And I was like, dude, this guy just melted our faces. Yeah. It was awesome.
he really did fit the Dokken thing extremely well. And like I say, the writing chemistry on Erase the Slate was real strong. And so, yeah, I mean, Reb's a monster. He just is. He's just a quality guitarist, musician, singer in his own way, and writer, amazing. So, I mean, he's got the whole deal.
Yeah, I was able to see, well, actually, the one time I've got to see Dokken, it was out at Mesker, and Reb was with you guys at that point, and it was at the time that Mattis Hatter came out. So,
right. Whenever,
so that was, that's it was an out.
That was in 99, yeah.
Okay, because it was an outdoor show, 99. And I think you opened for Poison.
Oh, well, then that was in 2000. Okay. Because we did a tour with Poison in the summer of 2000, and Reb was on fire, man, just on fire. He's just such a talented guitarist.
Yeah, he's really good. Wow.
It's crazy. So do you have another supergroup in your head that you're working on for next time? Is it already started? Because you don't rest.
I've had some ideas. Actually, I just emailed Sarah Fino this morning, and last night we had a series of your emails. We were talking about a couple of things, so I'm not going to mention what I'm thinking yet. But one thing I am working on, and hoping to do a whole record of this year, is I've been working with Steven Adler. He's got a killer band right now, killer band, and his singer is just phenomenal. I mean, I admit it sounds a lot like Axl. But it's like the young on fire Axl, and he's great, and he's a sweetheart of a guy, and he's a great entertainer, and his band is smoking, and we just did a tune. It's being mixed right now, but it really came out great. So I'm very motivated to do a whole record with that. I'm hoping that can happen. I think when people hear this song, they're going to flip out because it's definitely Guns N' Roses-y, but you know, in my opinion, it's some of the best post-Guns N' Roses music that any of those guys have done, and it's really, really strong.
Yeah, I saw those guys on the Kiss Cruise this past October.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well, the coolest thing for the whole thing for me, the bass player, she is amazingly talented, you know.
She's great.
She's great to watch. The whole band was on fire.
They're great.
We were in the dining facility, and Steve Adler come in there and gave some girl a big old kiss on the cheek and a big hug and everything. And I looked at him and I said, hey, where's mine? He come running over there and give me a big old kiss on the cheek and a hug. Such a nice guy.
Yep. He's my best friend, and he's a sweetheart, and he's funny as can be. He is one funny guy.
He's a monster drummer too. I mean, just unbelievably drum.
You know, the thing about his drumming is that when he loves something, when he's passionate about it, something happens to the song, and it just comes to life in a way that you could not describe. It's just this magical energy that happens. And I mean, when you hear the Appetite for Destruction record, And, you know, listen, Matt Sorum's a great drummer. And believe me, I love Matt Sorum. Matt Sorum is wonderful. But the chemistry of the of those guys when Steven was in the band, when you hear those tracks on Appetite, there is this raw kinetic energy on them that is, I mean, it's not all Steven, but he definitely adds a lot to it. And that's what he does to his own band. And when he plays those songs, I mean, Dave Grohl's been quoted even saying that when Steve, nobody plays Guns N' Roses right except Steven Adler. And that's really kind of true. It really is. There's something about the way he plays that just, it's energy. It makes it happen. And it's my favorite part of recording. When you can achieve that in a recording,
right,
you've done the X factor. You've done the, you know, you've gone the extra mile. That's what people sink their teeth into. That's what people want to buy. They want to hear that extra special thing. They don't want it to sound run of the mill or like something they've heard a million times or just bland. They want to hear an energy that, again, you can't describe it, but you know when it's there. And he's got that in spades.
Yeah, I saw Guns N' Roses here when they first did that first leg of that tour in Nashville, and they got Steven up on stage, and I'll tell you what, he had a smile on his face. You couldn't wipe it off with a shovel. I mean, it was this, but he did. He played. I mean, like I said, there's nothing against Matt, but he is the sound of, he's the drums of Guns N' Roses.
You're right. Oh, and that was actually, Matt wasn't on that part of the tour.
It was the other guy. That was
Frank. Who is also a great drummer in his own right. I mean, this is not at all meant to demean them in any way whatsoever. It's just there is something about when he plays with those guys and when he plays music that makes music come alive. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. I would sure love to see a reunion of the original five someday. I hope that happens.
Yeah,
I would go to that show.
I would definitely go to that show.
I'm not interested in seeing the current show. I would go see.
It's a good show.
I would go see that show.
But it's a good show.
The current band is really good. Although I've only seen them when Stephen came up and played with them. But I mean, I saw the whole show, and they're great. They're absolutely great. But again, if we can get the original five out there, how exciting would that be?
Oh, it'd be incredible. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
We got to get four of my favorite guys to play together again, so I can go see them. A band that used to be in there.
Well, speaking of that, four of the favorite guys, Jeff, what are your thoughts on the Doc and Lynch thing coming up this summer?
I think that's great. I mean, I think people are going to enjoy themselves. I think it's going to do great, and I think they're going to have fun, and I think, like I say, I mean, I wish I could be there, but I can't be in two places at once, and I have a day job. So
darn you for being in demand.
Dad?
I said, darn you for being in demand.
We're having a job, you know.
Exactly.
One job's going to pay consistently.
You know, I never give up hope that I mean, really, I mean, yes, I'd love to do another tour with Doc, and if that's possible, although it's really tricky because of my schedule with Foreigner. But I mean, I would love to do a last record with them, just that put that final dot on the I, you know what I mean? And make that final last statement, because we proved in 2016 that we still had the writing chemistry together when we did that song, It's Another Day, for the live record. And that was really a fun experience. We all really had fun, and that's really rare for Dokken.
Exactly.
So I mean, I'm hoping we could do. I think we could do a really strong, great last record. So we'll see. Maybe someday. Well,
you know what? 2020 is the year of everybody going out on tour. I mean, everybody. Well,
I mean, I know. I probably Dokken probably wouldn't go out on tour in 2020, right, but you never know. You never know. Well, Doc and R, just not a reunited Doc.
Yeah, exactly. So thinking about the tours this summer, that was a question I'd written down. You know, Foreigner's been doing the summer tour thing for a while, which is great, and it's awesome. Do you guys, when you decide to do a tour in the summer or whenever, thinking about this summer, there seems to be a ton of package things going on. You know, it's triple bills or it's four bands all over the place. Do you guys look at what other packages are coming up or that have been, you know, talked about being put together? to determine who you're going to have on your tour or dates that you're going to do? Or does that matter at all? You're just like, I don't give a shit. We're just going to go do our thing and people are going to come, and
which they will.
Well, yeah. No, to answer your question, absolutely. You look at what's out there or what's going on. We actually kind of formulated our package and announced it relatively early. So we didn't know, like, what was, I heard just one the other day, Whitesnake was doing something. Sounded good too. I forget what it was, but anyway, so there was a lot of stuff we didn't know yet when we decided what we did, but yes, of course we do. And really who does is Live Nation, who does the tours. They are, you know, they have all their statistics and their data people and all that kind of thing. And they figure out the packages. And they were very excited about the package that we have this year, which of course is with Kansas and Europe. So, I can't wait. I mean, I love Kansas. I'm a huge Kansas fan, and I love Europe. So they've been friends forever. Actually, Kansas guys have become friends now too, which is great. Cause I was a huge Kansas fan when I was a kid. I mean, huge. And, so it's really fun for me to hang with those guys and to have them on the bill. I love their music. And Europe, again, same thing. Like John Norm. Actually, you know what's funny is I have a feeling when you were telling the story about the Dokken thing, when you said Indianapolis, because it was actually John Norm that came in and did the shows right after.
Oh, you're right. That's who it was.
And when you said Indianapolis, I remember John playing in Indianapolis. And John was amazing. Anyways, John's been a friend forever. I love his playing and his attitude, and just I love him as a person. So this summer's tour is going to be a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, you're right. It was him. And I saw them again later, and it was Red Beach the next time I saw him.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Phil was wrong about something. I can't believe
it. Oh, yeah, I'm wrong. You know, it's just the way it works.
Didn't want to say, but okay.
I can't believe you remember that stuff. But you, I mean, it's not like you don't do a show a year. It's like there's a ton of shows.
I can't remember what I did yesterday.
When you went, the way you set it up, it went as soon as you said Indianapolis, I kind of remember the Indianapolis show because we had some friends there, which is why I remember. But I was picturing John. But anyways, so I don't remember everything, but I do have a pretty good memory. It's not as good as it used to be. And a lot of it is just turning into mush now because I do so many shows a year over all these years. So it's kind of hard to tell. But certain things I do still remember. The old hat rack's still working there.
That's good. That's good to know.
Yeah, I think the Whitesnake tour is with Sam. Is it Sammy Hagar and Whitesnake? Isn't that who it is?
There's a third band.
And there's a third band too. And I haven't seen,
and I thought it would be interesting to see it. And I don't remember who it was.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and I can't remember. Sammy. I can't. But that's the weekend of the Rockin' Pod. So
yeah, we can't go. Yeah, so
it was an interesting bill, but yeah, there is a lot of bills out there this summer. It's gonna be crazy, but yeah, I mean, I'm very much looking forward to it. I mean, I've heard ticket sales are great for the tour so far, so I'm very excited.
Well, you, I mean, like I said, that's a great tour. Like I said, I love Kansas. I was one time I ever seen Kansas. Now this is always it was like a joke. I saw Kansas in Oklahoma City. You know, at a bar, but it was at this place called In Cahoots, and it was this little bitty, well, not a little bitty, it was one of those big kind of shit kicking, you know, line dancing kind of places. And they set it up, and I worked for a company that's England based, and I had a guy in. I said, there's this band playing over here, dude, you got to come with me. He goes, I don't even know who they are. I said, come watch. And we sat, I ain't shitting you, 20 feet from the stage all night long, and they're just playing the hits. And he looked at me afterwards like, well, thank you so much for bringing me here because this was awesome. But yeah, they're fantastic.
Phenomenal band.
Oh, yeah, the other band that's playing on the Sammy Hagar Whitesnake, it's just a little band we probably never heard of, which is Night Ranger.
Oh, yeah, Night Ranger.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Some other band.
Yeah, that's
still great. I mean, the amazing thing is everybody sounds really good. I mean, the bands are really good. People sound really good.
Yeah. Night Ranger haven't dropped a beat, man. They're still great. We just did a show with them a couple months ago. They're amazing.
Oh, man, I'd love to have seen that. That'd been awesome.
I still haven't seen them. I want to see them yet. I
really
haven't had, dude. Every time I've had an opportunity to see them, something has come up, and I have not got to see them yet. So yeah,
they're really good. Lightning good.
Several years ago, Several years ago, a friend and I went to Deer Creek or Ruoff or whatever Verizon, whatever it was called at the time, to see Night Ranger and Foreigner and Journey. Yeah. And
2011.
We got there, and I don't know why they do it. They say the show starts at, say, 7 o'clock, so we get there, and when we walk in, it's like 5 minutes after 7, and Night Ranger's doing their last song of the set. So we missed almost all of Night Ranger. I don't remember what time the show started.
That happened.
But it,
that happened more than you think.
Yeah, it started before everybody got in there, so we ended up missing. And the same thing happened when I saw Brittany Fox open for Alice Cooper over in Germany one time.
Really?
Yeah. So, that's not cool. So speaking of three show bills, you guys are going to be with Europe and Kansas and Indianapolis, and I'm pretty sure all three of us are going to be at that show. Is there anything?
We've never met in person, have we?
Do what now?
We've never met in person, have we?
Not yet.
Yeah, last summer I ran through. I was a last second add to the pick. Photo op with Foreigner, and I ran through, said hello.
He did this.
Yeah, it was literally like a nanosecond because I was like last. I'm like, they gotta go. I'm like, okay.
Right. Well, this time all three of us, and we'll make it 2 nanoseconds.
Oh, I just lied to you. I did meet you when Foreigner started back up in 2005, I believe it was. Jason Bonham was still in the band, and you guys filled in for I was going to say Led Zeppelin, but she filled in for Lynyrd Skynyrd in Des Moines, Illinois. And we hung out after the show was over, and you and Mick and Kelly and Jason came out and signed our stuff and gave us guitar picks and everything. So I lied. I have met you. And I have photographic proof somewhere.
He didn't have that great big beard, though. That's the only problem.
No, I also didn't have that great big belly.
That's true. But, hey, Jeff, real quick, I want to ask you real quick. As far as your bass, I know you play Fenders quite a bit. Is that your weapon of choice all the time, or do you have other ones that you go to, or is it just
all the time. It's generally my first go-to just because Fenders are so, I mean, they just feel great and they tend to always sound great. But no, not all the time. I'll tell you what I do, what I've gotten recently, and you can see it on the End Machine. Oh, wait, was it? Yeah. The End Machine video, I think. Was it the End Machine video? Certainly on the first doc and on the video for It's Another Day we did. The Dokken video I played, it's a 10 string bass made for me by Keith Horn over at Marvin Guitars, and it's an amazing 10 string bass. And what made me want a 10 string so bad is, you know, we opened up for Led Zeppelin when they did that show at the O2 Arena at the end of 2007,
right?
And John Paul Jones had a 10 string bass on there that just sounded like God. It was just the most amazing bass I'd ever heard. And I'd been working for years trying to find one that sounded that good. And finally, Keith said, I'll make it. Yeah, I'll make exactly what you want. And sure enough, he did. It came out amazing. So I have this Marvin 10 string that I play a lot. Really phenomenal. I also use Breedlove acoustic guitars and basses. And they make an acoustic bass that is really phenomenal. And I've been playing I played the fretless version on the acoustic bonus tracks, which actually are mostly for Japan, but on both the M Machine record and the Black Swan record, we did acoustic bonus tracks, and I played the fretless Breedlove on that. That sounds amazing. Cool. And then there's a couple other songs. I will sometimes do other things. I've got a lot of basses at home. I kind of have a collection. I absolutely have a collection. But that's partly just because I love it. It's, you know, it's a passion. But for recording, I would say more than 3/4 of the time, a Fender is going to be right.
Okay. I just because I always, you know, when you see you and see pictures of you a lot, you know, most of the time you're playing a P bass, you know, it's just like, you know,
yeah,
this kind
live, of that's generally the case. Although with M Machine, I did do the 10 string. I brought that out for those shows we did. And every once, like I say, in videos, sometimes I'll play other basses.
Okay. Awesome.
Just because.
Gotcha. All
so right. In your collection, is there any, do you have a prized bass in the collection?
Well, I have several. I mean, one of my big ones is I have a 1958 P bass that I've had since 1986 that I've played on Dokken Records, all the Dio records I did. I played it live a handful of times, but I mostly use it in the studio. It is my go-to bass that I've used on so many records over the years. It's just the most phenomenal P bass in the world. It's just, it's a magical bass. It weighs nothing. And it's just incredible. It just sounds, it's just got the right sound always right away. Amazing bass. I love that. I've got a 63 P bass that I really love that I do a lot of recording with as well. I have an old 63 Gibson Thunderbird bass, which I've used in videos before. And it's really a phenomenal bass. I love Thunderbirds. I have a Hofner Beetle bass, of course. I have a Hagstrom 8-string. I've got a lot of really very prized basses. Oh, you know what? I don't know if you guys remember the song Time by the Chambers Brothers.
Mm-hmm. I do get a little bit for your time. You'd know it when you heard it.
It was a big song. Yeah, you'd know it if you heard it. Anyways, I have the bass that Pops Chambers played on that song. It's a 69 Gibson EB3 that I managed to get from a guy, and he gave me the documentation and everything. But it's funny. Having all those basses, I do tend to end up with the Fender most of the time.
That's cool. Actually, I don't have that massive a collection. I got about 10 guitars, but I'm like you. You got your, you know, those ones sit in the corner. You know, they sit and they keep, you know, you got to take them out every once in a while and do it, but there is that go-to guitar. You know, you just go to it naturally and even practice or play or whatever. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, Bill, I thought you had some.
Sorry. I was breathing. Oh, yeah, Jeff, we want to be respectful of your time today. So we're going to let you get out of here.
What you guys appreciate. It was fun.
You want to tell people where they can find Black Swan merch and stuff?
Well, You know, just go to Facebook. It's there's a lot of stuff there. Go to Frontiers Records. You can find all the stuff there. I know we have a Twitter thing. Facebook is the one I'm the most familiar with. Just go to Facebook and look up Black Swan. You'll find it right away. See the videos and then order the record. And hopefully it'll work out because I think people are going to be very, very happy.
Yeah,
it is on vinyl, right? Do have it on vinyl?
Yes, it is on vinyl. I just got the vinyl yesterday.
I love vinyl.
I just saw a picture of it earlier today, and I was like, "Oh, I didn't have time to order it."
Just order two, and I'll pay you for it. No,
just order your own. Whatever.
No. Yeah, and here's the vinyl that they're doing. They're using the good quality vinyl, so it's really coming out great.
Well, hopefully they got it done before the fire, so that's good. Did you hear about the vinyl company that caught fire out in? Yeah, they make the masters. It's the company that makes the masters.
Wow.
It burned to the ground. It's not good.
Yeah. Not good for there's only two places in the world, I guess, that do that. And now there's only one.
That was one of them. So you got it just in time.
Whoa. Yep. Wow. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Hang around for just a second. We're going to get out of here, and then we want to chat real quick with you. So.
Okay. Sure. All right, guys, thank you so much. It was really wonderful.
Thanks, man.
All right, folks, check us out on 80sofrock.com. Catch our social media and all of that and other good stuff. And until next time, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.